So the sermon title this morning is, What's the Delay? This is something we hear a lot. And it's not just unique to us in the church or anything like that. Impatience with waiting seems to be part of the human condition. It may be getting worse. Somebody once characterized my particular generation as the one that stands in front of the microwave tapping their foot, which I think is probably not all that inaccurate, really, when it comes right down to it. We don't like delays. We don't like things not to happen when we want them to happen. We want, well, when we're little, we want Christmas to come immediately. Neela is now starting to ask how many sleeps until Christmas, and no matter what the answer is, it's not what she wants to hear, which I suppose makes sense. When we get older, we wonder why we have to wait to get out of high school. Perhaps I wonder why we have to wait to find that perfect person who will be our life partner. We seem to spend all of our time going, well, what are we waiting for? What's going on? What's with the delay? We complain about standing in lines. We complain about how slowly the person ahead of us is driving. There seems to be no end of frustration with delays. Well, one of the things that I've realized, and this sometimes helps me in my day-to-day life, not as often as I'd like, is that delay is all about context. It's all about expectation, and it's all about what we think should happen. If we, for example, go to renew our driver's license, or perhaps for whatever reason we're not going to pay a bill online, so we go to the bank to pay a bill, or perhaps we even go to the utility or whatever it might be to pay the bill, and we have to wait in line. It might take us 15 or 20 minutes to do this whole transaction. We get out and we're just a little steamed. Talk to anyone who's lived in Latin America for a while. I remember talking to a missionary who said that they set aside a day to pay bills. A day per bill to pay bills. And if it didn't take the whole day, then that was a good day. And so when they came here and went to Sask Energy or went to their bank or whatever it might be to pay a bill, and they stood in line and then they paid it and they were done in 20 minutes, they were ecstatic. Well, where's the delay then? What's the delay? The delay is all about what we are expecting. There was a particular airline that surveyed its customers, as many companies do, and they did reasonably well, except for one thing, and that was waiting for the baggage after the plane landed. And the most consistent complaint they got was that people had to wait too long for the baggage to come on their carousel and they could get on their way. And so they looked at everything they could to figure out how to make this faster, and they realized that they were working pretty much at the limit of what human beings could do. I mean, you can only move things so fast. So they took their baggage carousel and moved it from where it was, which was right at the right by the door that you came out of when you left the secure area and went to pick up your baggage, and they moved it to the other end. And the complaint stopped. It took exactly the same length of time to get your bags, but you spent part of that time walking to the carousel. And so people didn't spend as much time standing, looking at an immobile carousel, and then looking at other people's luggage going by. The time hadn't changed. The delay had changed, because a delay is a construction that we make. A delay has no objective reality. My delay is your opportunity to watch people and just enjoy the interaction of other human beings. People who really enjoy people watching don't seem to suffer from delays the same way the rest of us do, who just want to get things done so we can go and wait somewhere else, is sometimes how it feels. Well, this has been going on for a long time. And we see it in our epistle reading this morning, where Peter is writing to believers. And he says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness." A delay is only a delay if you think it's one. I'm hoping all of you have had this experience at least once of when you're late for whatever reason, you ran into problems getting to wherever you're going to meet somebody, and you arrive and you're feeling bad because you've arrived later than you said you would. And you're feeling bad and you say, "I'm sorry I'm late." And the person looks up and goes, I hadn't even noticed. I had a book along, or I was just enjoying the quiet, whatever it might have been. And you realize that all of the angst that you were bringing to this conversation, to this meeting, was completely unnecessary. And hopefully, at least this is what I work on, when somebody tells me that, I try to actually believe them when they say they're not upset and just move on as if I was on time. We worry when things don't happen on time. We wonder if something's gone wrong. And for the people that Peter was writing to, they were starting to wonder. Because there's some language in the Gospels that has come to us that suggests that Jesus was going to return to earth, that everything was going to be wrapped up pretty quickly. Depending on how you read different parts of the Gospels, you can make a case that Jesus said that the people that he was talking to would still be there when he came back again. Well, none of those people are alive. And when Peter was writing this, these people were already starting to get older and older, and some of them had died, and people were starting to wonder. And they're going, so what's the delay? Jesus said he was going to come back. And he hasn't. So there must be something wrong. What Peter is trying to help people realize is that any delay they might be feeling is the delay that they are bringing to the experience. Because they're looking at it from a different context. Those of us who've got a few years under our belt think that Christmas is almost here. It's just flying towards us. And perhaps we look at that with a certain amount of trepidation. We have things to do that aren't done yet. But even if we're not, even if everything is going just the way, we just think, wow, it's almost here. It's going to be next to no time. For an 8-year-old, the length of time from December 7th to December 24th, which is when the first present is going to be opened, and then the 25th, if we then go to Grammy and Granddad's house to open the rest, it's an eternity. It's a different context. And if we are going to look at the context, we need to see, in a sense, who decides. I don't know what your experience with young people has been, but mine, especially with my kids, they have taken it personally that things don't happen as soon as they like. I can clearly remember more than once with more than one of my children, when being told that today is Tuesday and whatever they're waiting for is on Friday, you know, that they'll just have to wait, they'll say, "Well, that's just stupid." "Well, what do you mean? It's happening on Friday. It can't happen now." "Well, it should." And you think, I mean, part of you thinks, "Well, that's just foolish." And then you realize, well, but that's how I am about a lot of things. I just don't put it quite that obviously. So I can conceal my own foolishness to myself that much longer. For someone who's 5 or 6, if they had their way, they would just take Wednesday and Thursday and just remove them entirely and go from Tuesday to Friday so they could get what they want right away. And we think, well, that's kind of crazy. That's perhaps odd, whatever it might be. We want to do the same thing. And Peter is telling the people he wrote his letter to and is telling us that the problem is that we're looking at it from a very limited view and our context doesn't fit what's actually happening. In the same way that a 5-year-old thinks that it would be a good idea if we just took a couple of days out of the week not really understanding that's just not possible. We look at the world we live in, we look at the difficulties we have, and we look at what's going wrong everywhere, and we say, well, why hasn't Jesus come back? What's the delay? And Peter's reminding us that the person who makes this decision has a different context than we do. There's been a lot of discussion about this passage and ones similar to it. There's been at least some scholars have suggested that perhaps in eternity the stream of time changes and that it's an eternal now, that there is no cause and effect the way we have it here. Entropy no longer counts for anything, that the reason why a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day is because everything is all the time. There is no duration. Possible? I don't know. I can't imagine that. Well, I can try, but I mean, we are so time bound, we just can't understand that there might be a different way of looking. And if that's too much for us and we don't know whether it's right or not, maybe we can apply some of our own experience to understand it a little bit better. Why is it that it's so much easier for grown-ups to wait for Christmas or for a birthday? Well, part of it is because after years and years, we've realized that they do always come. And that slow as it might feel, it's a feeling of slowness. Somebody asked Einstein to explain relativity and how that might affect things, or said, well, relativity is, think of it this way, relativity is that an explanation of why a minute talking to, or an hour talking to someone that you really enjoy feels like a minute. And a minute with your hand on a hot stove feels like an hour. Our experience of time is bound by us. And it's really hard for us to step outside of our own context, because this is all we know. This is all we can know, is our own experience. And for someone who is, as Neela is 8, she just hasn't had enough experience to know that even though it feels like it's going to take forever until Christmas comes, it'll take just as long as it always does. That every day is 24 hours, no matter if it feels longer or shorter. And the time proceeds the way it always will. But we feel like there's a delay. Peter reminds his readers that God is being patient with us. There's no reason that we understand why God can't come back or return, Jesus can't return, wrapping all this up at any time. There's nothing preventing him. But what we read is that it's a sign of grace to us. It's a gift to us. It's a demonstration of God's patience, that he wants to give us time to understand him, to know him, to get to know him, to move into a relationship with him through Jesus, and to help others to do the same. We don't know when he's coming back. This season of Advent is an opportunity for us to think of the anticipation that comes with Christmas and our anticipation with the return of Christ. What we do know, or at least what we can remind ourselves, that when he comes back, it will be at the right time. Not a moment too early, and not a moment too late. And when we think of our frustration or our impatience, it's okay to be impatient. It's okay to be frustrated with the delay, as long as we remember that we are creating the delay. That God isn't taunting us by waiting or by making us wait, but that as we want something, as we see this as a delay, that the delay is ours. When Jesus comes back, it'll be at the time he should come back, at the exact right time. Our impatience for his return isn't a bad thing, unless it makes us think bad things about him. There's nothing wrong with waiting impatiently for a good thing to happen. One of the longest weeks of my life was the week before I got married. Time just dragged along. So I couldn't wait. Thankfully, I was old enough that I wasn't looking at it from the perspective of a child waiting for Christmas and stamping my foot and wondering what was going on. But it didn't change the experience of a feeling of delay. So the answer to the question, what's the delay, is the delay is us. Because we feel the delay. Christ is returning, we know that. We don't know exactly how, we don't know exactly what it will look like, and we certainly don't know when. But we do know he's returning. The delay is on our side, not on his. And in the same way that he came as a baby to begin the whole process, he'll come again in glory. And in the same way that when Christmas arrives, we go, finally, but not finally in a sense of resignation, but in that joyful, finally it's here, we'll do the same. And we'll realize that it wasn't a delay, that it came exactly when it should have.